Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was head or tail.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 289. This is Jorge.
This is Matt.
Hey, old motherfucking Yeager. This is Rhett.
I thought you were going to start counting to 21.
22,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
I can't get enough of that
11,
shit.
11.
Yeah, come on.
Come on.
Yeah.
I love you so much.
Wow.
Well, that's the Rhett remix.
He does do Rhett remixes. He starts laughing and the video cuts off.
It's so good.
He's like, he's very self-aware of it. Yeah, he's like,
You know the best part about those videos is when he's got somebody else with him and they're like jamming out with him. They're like, yo, this song fucking slaps.
This is a slapper, dude.
Hell yeah.
Those guys are keeping it 100.
100. He counted to 100.
So how's it going, fellas? How you doing?
Good, good.
Pretty good.
Pretty eventful week.
1 week closer to Christmas.
Ugh. 1 week closer to death.
Why are you saying
this yeet has gone?
They should just call it the yeet.
The yeet. Yeah, this yeet has gone incredibly fast, and I can't believe that it's Christmas.
Has it?
But you know, like despite everything bad that's happened, there's still like a lot of good to be had in the world.
Like what, dude?
Like me not getting murdered by a pregnant prostitute. So George,
context.
So George knows. George already knows the story because I had to call somebody. I picked up a hitchhiking pregnant prostitute the other day
to make yourself feel better about something in your life that you're.
I mean, that was
not proud of.
That was probably part of it.
Okay.
I don't.
I also can't say no to people, so that was another part of it. And then I was like, you know, it's the holidays, and she says she's pregnant, and she just wants a ride, you know, like a few blocks away. And
you picked up Boxcar Bertha 2020.
Why not? Yeah, basically, like I'm 100% convinced she was a prostitute. She was talking about like how she smokes 3 packs a day, and she tried to sell me marijuana wax. No, she didn't. She said she was tired of all these dirty guys out here.
Well, yeah, that's the line she was telling you.
But she did
so
try
that you'd be like, oh, dude, I'm the clean white hero.
Yeah, I am. I'm the great white hope. And then she tried to sell me weed, and then she told me that she wanted a pie and wanted me to bring it to her in an hour and give her a ride back.
Yeah.
Gave me her phone number. Said her name was Chocolate. Interesting day. All this happened before 8 a.m. Great day. Mm-hmm. Then I made a pie. Mm-hmm. It was a delicious pie. Is a salt pork and apple pie.
Nice.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Okay,
pretty good,
cool.
Pretty good. And then I got a fake tooth put in. That's fun too.
I saw that. That pie looked really impressive.
Thank you.
You actually make that fucking crust?
I made it 100%.
You threaded that bitch like fucking sweater.
I mean, it's
shit.
Called weaving, but yes.
Okay. So when you were threading the salt pork.
Threading the salt pork. Okay. I'm following you.
Why is it a... I'm following you. You're going to say something dumb. I got you.
Okay.
No, salt.
I follow you on this idiocy trail.
I've never heard of salt pork apple pie. Why is it salt pork?
Because it's got... So salt pork is basically bacon, but like extra, extra fatty. And you take some salt pork and you cut it into thin slices and you render the fat. So you basically liquefy and remove a bunch of the fat. And then you save that fat because you toss the apples in it later. And then you put the slices of cooked pork into or mixed in with the slices of the apple. So you get like the salty and the sweet and the cinnamony and nutmeg.
Do you know all that shit?
About what?
Salt pork and that whole process of rendering the fat.
I think so. You've made that pie before, right?
No, this is the first time I made that pie.
That looks elaborate. Like, it sounds fucking
when
elaborate.
I learned about like apple and cheddar pies, that blew,
oh, dude, that's
that blew my mind. Like I'd never heard of that. And that's, I still haven't made one.
You ever go up to Julian?
Yeah. Well, we went in the summertime.
So when you go to Julian, mm-hmm. go to any of the apple pie.
What? Basically any pie shop.
Any pie store.
which is
everywhere. They'll sell you a slice of cheddar cheese on top of it, and it's fucking delicious.
Yeah, because it stimulates both things.
It hits like all four spots on your tongue.
On your fucking... Yeah, got
yep.
you.
Yep. It's good. Yeah. It's good. It's good eats.
It's pie season too, man. So I'm actually feeling real good.
You're like, look, invite me over. I'll bring you a pie.
I literally got into an argument with my neighbor today. And at the end of it, I'm like, let me know if you need a pie. It's good stuff.
Hey, bitch, you want some pie?
Yeah. I mean, like, dude, it builds bridges. Like, fucking eat pie. Just do that.
Eat pie. All right, cool.
Eat pie.
What about you, Riggedy Rhett?
My day.
What about it, dude?
Anything happened this week significant to you, dude?
What about
this semester is over.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, good. Buddy.
I've talked very little about that, but school was going on. And, you know, that whole online school thing and them trying to do... It's one thing like, oh, they always had online classes, but now it's like they're only online classes, you know?
Yeah.
And it's been a real pain in the ass, along with all the other work stuff on computer and... Computer.
You don't
computer.
Like computers, do you?
I, dude, this is, I, it's not that I don't like them. Now I'm getting used to it, but dude, like never did I ever think I would be using them this frequently for my job and school. You know what I mean? I mean, this has really pushed things forward. I'd say at least 10 years as far as what people are doing with this stuff, Microsoft Teams and Zoom meetings and just constant barrage of fucking, of using computers, people working from home were, you know what I'm saying? So,
yep.
So yeah. Other than that, no, it's just, I'm just really learning constantly stuff at the job still.
And are you learning?
Did you learn? That's a good old Donovan right there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, learning a lot of stuff. I feel this is kind of an empowering couple last weeks where for a long time at this new job with a bunch of stuff, I didn't really feel like I knew what I was doing with the operating system. It's more computer shit, but now it's like, now I'm beginning to feel like, oh, I know what I'm fucking doing.
He's like, I know how to copy paste now, dude.
Dude, well, copy and paste was...
I've been trying to teach my mom how to do that for like 10 fucking years.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of copy and pasting. It's just like copy and paste according to these specifications. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like how many steps until I get to the copy and paste part, which is the easy part.
Got it.
You get what I'm saying? That kind of bullshit. But otherwise, it's just a lot of quality time with Sophia.
Hi, Sophia.
And two little dogs. Little good friends.
Yeah, I saw you fucking Frenching that dog the other day. That's
he
so
was French. What?
That was so gross.
What? Why?
Well, because you were letting that dog like stick its tongue in your mouth.
Nah, it wasn't in my mouth. It was on my lips. All over my mouth. All right. Lips.
Matthew, have you watched anything?
Gross.
No one asks you, how are you doing? What did you do?
How are you, George?
How am I? Lots of anxiety. It continues to this day, and that's basically it.
Generalized, or you got panic attacks? You seem like a generalized
seasonal
anxiety.
Yeah, generalized, yeah. Seasonal? Fuck no, dude.
No,
if seasonal. Seasonal is fucking January to December.
I mean, like that's the season.
If it's December to January, that's not very bad because it's only
right now. Yeah, it's the other way around, dude.
It's just depression season.
Yeah,
all year.
No. It was a good week. We went up to Julian. I got some more firewood, which I love it. Other than that, no, it's all good.
Turned into Donald Duck.
Yeah. Work is a fucking nightmare at the end of the year, but that's cool.
Who is? What is?
Work. We go into fucking panic mode at the end of the year.
What's that?
Because like everybody, you're not asking what's panic
he's a
mode.
Socialist.
You're asking what work
what's
is.
Work?
He's part of the Bolshevik revolution.
Anywho, watch anything?
I watched Elf before I came over. I love that movie. It's great.
Do you feel like it's too long?
It's only like an hour and 37 minutes, but yes.
I thought it was like over 2 hours.
No, it's like an hour 37.
Damn.
Yeah.
All right.
I watched Santa Sleigh because it's Christmas and that movie's fucking brilliant. The only thing relevant and recent I watched was Books of Blood on Hulu.
You called it Books of Boredom.
I did not like it. I was very bored. I'm bored with a lot of things, but I was especially bored with that movie. But that's really the only thing that I watched. Am I a lizard person? Am I an iguana?
You guys look like Grinches.
Oh, am I a Grinch?
Yeah.
Good.
It doesn't really look like the Grinch, but it looks bizarre and Christmassy. So we're nice.
Humbug.
So that, Books of Boredom?
Yeah, Books of Boredom. That was pretty much it. I have been playing a lot of Blasphemous.
Okay.
So that's real fun. And then I just bought a game today called Monster Prom. So like, I'm going to play this monster dating simulator and try to get some monster dick. So
you can't get monster pussy?
I don't know. Maybe. But like, why?
I gotta imagine. Why I gotta imagine monster pussy is probably pretty cool.
Why not just get Frankencock though? Like I gotta see.
If I gotta imagine monsters probably have like weird like genitals. Like they've gotta be. They've gotta be both. They've gotta be both.
Non-monsters have weird genitals.
They've gotta be both.
Lizards have weird.
They've gotta be both P and V at the same time.
What monster do you think would have the most attractive genitals?
What monster?
What monster?
Gossamer.
What's a gossip?
He's that big orange fuck.
He's that one that chicks date from Warner Brothers. From,
okay.
Why?
You have a rad dick?
He'd have a rad ass dick, dude. He wears like Chucks with his rad ass cock.
You guy who wears Chucks like that with no pants, you know.
Dick, bro.
He's got that fire crotch.
Well, okay, so you know, let's go through that for a second.
I feel like Dracula's probably gotta have a handsome penis.
You see, that's like too come on. Let's go deep. Let's get in this bitch. You know?
I mean, like the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Maybe the snake girl from fucking Monsters Inc. probably has some rad.
You're
shit
going oh, well, duh. We got to pick a chick.
Well, yeah, I mean, like that. Well,
that's Salma Hayek from Dust Till Dawn would have a rad
about
snatch.
I was talking about Bela Lugosi's fucking Bing Bong, and you're like, well, that's a little too on the nose. Like,
I mean. Right.
That's like, tell me a monster with a more handsome penis than
do you remember the Dracula. 90s movie Relic with the monster in the museum?
You think that monster's got a more handsome penis?
Definitely. Than... Probably really pretty.
Okay, well,
Wouldn't it be great though if like it was like a monster like that and it just has this beautiful cock?
Like, it's just like pristine.
It's just super fucking perfect.
It sparkles and it hums like angels singing.
Or like Deep Rising, and then it shows his cock. It's all perfectly shaven and shaped, well, and not mangled or anything.
Wait,
it's just
did they show
got a nice shaft?
Did they show the merman's dong in Shape of Water?
No, not explicitly.
But you know what, she's really into it, so he might.
Did you watch the movie?
No, fuck no.
She's what not, do you mean she's really into
she's
it?
She's not into his you know water I mean, cock,
isn't she though?
She's into him.
Oh, you know who will probably have
she's
a cool,
him,
cool genitalia?
Who?
The alien monster thing from Splice.
Well, oh, yep.
Because she's
he keeps going for chicks.
No,
like,
it's
yeah.
not a chick. It's like ambidextrous. She's
ambidextrous.
She's ambidextrous.
Well, she can play the piano with both hands.
Mean, I guess the thing would probably have
the most fucked up.
No, the most nice, because it could just adapt its genitals.
Yeah, but it would definitely.
We never saw Brundlefly's cock.
It would definitely have. Ooh. It would definitely have spikes on it.
Brundlefly's cock would be disgusting.
Yeah, Brundlefly and Baxter Stockman have the same D. That's something to think about.
Freddy Krueger's is all.
What's
it,
all burned
it
in the mangled
like face?
It looks like a hot dog that got left on the grill for too long.
Jason Voorhees has a smashing cock.
A smashing?
Yeah.
Smashing.
Just smashing.
Michael Myers, probably well endowed. Probably like just an
think?
Average dude.
How about a gremlin
You know
cock?
What, though? He's probably all about the knives, so he's making up for it.
Okay, so I bet you Gizmo probably has a cute little...
Like, probably like a hamster. Looks, probably like a hamster dick.
Yeah,
like
I don't a hamster dick. But then like the gremlin. Like the gremlin's probably
angry,
mean, like
yeah.
witch's finger.
It's probably got prongs on it like a fucking cat.
I was thinking it probably has like spikes, thorns and shit. Like a,
it's like a fucking graboid.
Graboid cock.
Yeah.
What other monsters
But that there? Begs the question, what does a graboid vagina look like?
Fuck. I mean, just a slit.
Predator's cock. It's weird to think about the Predator's cock now that I think about it.
Is it?
Because it's so humanoid, but I can't imagine it.
You mean you've never thought about the Predator's cock before?
I hadn't. Honestly, oh. I hadn't.
Welcome to the club.
How about like Goro from Mortal Kombat? I bet he's got a giant crank.
Well, I mean, are we talking huge or are we talking like pretty? Because
I mean both, dude. Because he's kind of like a pretty monster.
Well, I mean, if we're talking huge, then it's got to be like the troll from Troll Hunter.
Well,
that fool was huge. Is Tracks in the Snow by IR Troll.
Yeah. All right. Rhett, did you watch anything?
I did. I'm still thinking about all these monster cocks. I'll come back to it. There's too much. I bet if we Googled that, that we'd get some strange stuff too.
Most attractive monster genitals.
Yeah, those exact Google.
You tell us. You tell us what you've watched, and I'll Google that phrase.
Okay, and we'll see what we come up with. Okay, so the rewatch stuff first.
Obviously.
Well, actually, it's not too much rewatch, except we got Disney Plus back because we didn't have it for a while because we weren't watching it. But
start Mando.
No, I didn't start that. I didn't start that.
You're such a son of a bitch.
I'm just kind of like.
It's the best thing that it's the best Star Wars property that's come out in the last decade, and you sleep.
I sleep on Mando, Commando. He's already found some wonderful shit from there. Okay, good. No,
okay. I could see.
So, hi, Sophia. She hadn't seen Finding Dory, and she loves fucking animals, and it's not nearly as
she loves the first fucking one. Animals.
That explains why
you've been Frenching that fucking dog.
Yeah. Look, there are things in society that you're not allowed to do. Okay,
like fuck animals.
They've got their own version of The Shape of Water going on.
No, she loves animals. She really she volunteers at the animal care facility. I hadn't told you guys that.
You did.
Volunteers at only Petco. Like 5 times. Yeah. It makes me feel bad that I don't do shit like that.
Yeah. Your girlfriend makes us all feel bad about our contributions to society.
Not me. Right. I don't give a fuck.
He's a liar. Go ahead. He's a liar. You're a Bolshevik revolutionary. That's kind of cool though. That's pretty good. If you watch Finding Dory, the octopus is really tight in there. If you remember. And I was trying to show her Marvel movies, and she wasn't watching. Like she's seen Doctor Strange.
Okay.
And because I wasn't going to start the beginning with her, because it's not going to do it.
What I did was I started going. I thought about Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
And I kind of went backwards, and I was like, what's absolutely necessary.
Right.
To understand what's happening in Endgame.
Well, what I did was I started with the origin story that's a one-off that has the stuff she likes, like Doctor Strange, and she's cool with that. She liked it. And Thor, we watched Thor Ragnarok.
That's the one.
Okay? And it's Taika Waititi. The humor's different. I had to explain a lot of stuff, but not as much stuff. Because it's kind of totally different than the first two Thor movies.
Yeah.
In any case, it's fun. It's very fun. And immediately after it, we get to the end, and she's like, well, what happens now? Because Thanos' ship shows up. And I'm like, you know what? I'll just fill you in. Let's watch what happens now. So we watched fucking Infinity War.
Wow.
And she was very entertained.
You went from Thor Ragnarok to Infinity War. You had to explain a lot, didn't you?
Quite a bit. Yeah.
Who the fuck is that?
Either way, the foot's in the door now. Now she's like, okay, I'll watch the Captain America movies and get caught up. And it's like, okay, good, because all three of those are fucking pretty solid. What I'm not so looking forward to is like, let's watch Thor 1. And he's like in fucking New Mexico for the second half of the movie, and fuck that. And Thor 2, which is like, get the fuck out of here.
Thor 2 is, that's Dark World?
Yeah.
Thor, Dark World is a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, it's not good.
No.
It's not good. In any case, it was a fun night. We watched like fucking two Marvel movies and a Disney movie. Like we were, you know, we had Down syndrome basically. You know what I mean? And so,
I guess that's... That's the only way you could watch those movies.
That's how it feels now to me, because I haven't, like, I've just been different stuff recently.
Hmm.
I watched a movie called Dune from 1984.
Ah, it's a good flick.
The David Lynch Dune. Mm-hmm. And that movie is all over the fucking place.
Yeah, it is.
It is a bizarre movie. You know, people who are aficionados.
You got
this guy,
Gordon Sumner up there.
There's all sorts of shit in there. And it's such a... The studio is interfering with Lynch, and Lynch is like, fuck you, I'm going to do this. And it comes out like this fucking crazy thing. And some of the best production design, like as far as the sets are fucking insane. But, and Sting, god damn, how long was he doing that yoga and shit? Because
forever.
That guy is 9-pack. He looks like Tyler Durden in fucking Fight Club. But like in 1984, during the Synchronicity album, like it's too much. It's too much for me. Okay, so those are the only rewatch things.
Okay.
The rest is all new shit. There's a movie called Coherence. You would like this, Jorge.
I think you told me about this.
No, well, I had actually just found out about it. It's like from 2013 or 12. It's a very small indie film, very low budget. It's at people at a dinner party. Some very unappealing California people at a dinner party. So like us, but not like us. But
nobody ever invites us to dinner parties.
And this comic,
you know what's? Sorry to interrupt you. You talking about that plus the movie that we watched for tonight's episode made me realize that I never want to be invited to a fucking dinner party fucking ever.
Yeah, don't do it.
Like, ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
But you got to come over to mine and Sophia's house for dinner.
Well, that's not a dinner party, though. You know what I mean?
But
I,
if me and Ollie are there, then it is.
No, that's just dinner.
Is
but
it?
But this, like...
Well, this was only four people in tonight's film.
Okay, we'll continue.
And it got bad. Yeah, this comet's passing overhead, and they're talking about all this weird stuff throughout history with comets and whatnot. Anyway, some temporal distortion stuff starts happening, and then they start seeing doubles of themselves. And then they start wondering if, then they go outside to investigate, and they see duplicates of the house and duplicates of themselves. And it's very, very isolated to like one location, basically, and no special effects, all ideas. And like it keeps, as it progresses, it gets fucking.
That's on Netflix, right?
It's actually on Amazon.
Amazon.
It's on Amazon and well worth your time. And when we started it, like Sophia was like, What is this? Why are we watching this? I gave her like no info or anything. I jumped into it right after another movie, but
right after Finding Dory.
It was actually after fucking Unhinged, which I gotta tell you. But Coherence is fucking interesting. If you like timey-wimey stuff.
I do like timey-wimey stuff.
And parallel universe type stuff. It's like a longer episode of Twilight Zone, but it really goes some fucking pretty interesting.
It really takes you there.
It really goes some good places, you know? Oh, okay. So Unhinged. Do you guys know about this movie?
I sent you a picture of the DVD that I own.
This is 2020 Russell Crowe
Unhinged. Oh, well, you need to specify that.
Yeah, this film,
Russell Crowe fighting a boat.
He's
fighting around the world.
It starts out with him. Well, I won't tell you because you haven't seen it. It's all spoiler territory. But anyway, he's having a real bad fucking time.
Yeah, this movie we're going to rush out to go see.
You should if you knew it was good for you. Because you like the fucking fanatic. Well, this isn't quite there, but this Russell Crowe being like 300 pounds, being maniacal on the road against a lady who cut him off is fucking hilarious, dude.
Wait, is this a movie or is this documentary?
This is exactly. It's a movie of a documentary, right? Ooh, no, I'm just kidding. Okay. Dude, he beats the fuck out of a kid. He kicks this lady in the chest.
Yeah.
He kills this guy in a restaurant in broad daylight with like a fork. It's fucking, it's not good. And it's fucking great. It's great shit. There's most this ridiculous shit happens. He lights her fucking brother on fire. There's like, it's just fucking amazing, dude. And he does this accent the whole time where it's like, is it Southern? Or are you from outer space? Like, what? Where the fuck are you? Who is this? That's why I've been sending you guys that little clip from the movie like 30 times. So I'm stuck on it.
Ladies and gentlemen, he has.
And Sophia was pissed about this movie. She's like, why are you showing me this? Blah, blah, blah. And then the next day she's all, I kind of want to watch it again. It's really funny. I'm like,
you've got her.
She, right? She gets it.
I feel like she was a normal person before they got
she
together.
She was too, man. I don't know. I Red has, you know, you ever hear about that thing with Steve Jobs? He's got that reality distortion field where like he makes people think like him just by like,
dude, he does. How many times have we been like talking about how he'll say some
kind of like Stockholm syndrome
where he's like, don't fuck like that. And we're like, that's so fucking stupid. That doesn't even make any sense. Like, that's not even funny. Well,
why are you so mad about it? Right?
I told that fucking prostitute lady, no, don't fuck like that.
And she does it.
That's fucking.
That came out. That came out in regular conversation. That wasn't even like memery.
That means sex workers across the nation are going to start talking that way. Don't and then it's going to come like back that. Around. To where I work at drug court, and I'm going to hear it, and some client's going to be like, don't fuck like that. I'm going to be like, holy shit. We
you're
like critical you're fucking
like, wait,
mass.
This is some Hadron Collider
this
shit.
This is some Hard-On Collider shit.
He's like, this is what I do.
A couple other non... And Unhinged is not a horror film. It's a thriller, I guess. Yeah, like, for real. But anyway, that was actually kind of a fairly good-sized box office hit earlier this year, believe it or not. Two non-horror things I watched. One was called Always, Sometimes, Rarely, Never. It's one of the best reviewed movies of the year. It's about a girl who has to go across the state to get an abortion. That's the simplest way to put it. It shows a lot about the obstacles that are in place to kind of do that and not just get the abortion, but deal with a lot of bullshit in general. Really good fucking film. It was much needed to watch something like that after all this horror stuff I've been watching at the end of the year, because not all of it is good. I watched David Byrne's Utopia, which is fucking great, dude. It's like, remember how when Chris was here a while ago, we watched his performance on Saturday Night Live?
That was so good.
Yeah, well, he had a whole Broadway musical like that. And that's why he was performing on SNL. And then Spike Lee filmed it. And that's what this is. And it's, again, one of the best reviewed things of the year, and it, as it should be. It basically functions as like a sequel to Stop Making Sense, but it's David Byrne, and he has his own players and new songs. And he does a lot of the old Talking Head stuff, too.
Oh, that's great.
It's fucking good, dude. It's worth your time.
Nice.
Three horror things I watched, and I'll go in descending order of
quality.
Actually, should I go in descending order of quality?
Go ascending.
Let's do ascending.
Yeah.
First one is The Craft Legacy.
Ooh,
wow, you watched it,
I'm
huh?
so excited for this.
It's that's really not good.
Wait,
and you did okay. not fucking tell me David Duchovny's in
okay.
this motherfucker.
How does this rank with Black Motherfucking Christmas?
It's right there.
It's
well,
right
and that's
there.
The thing, though. Like, I actually hate Black Christmas worse, if only because...
That's sexist, dude.
Well, Black Christmas is rated R, actually, but it's like it did nothing with that. You know what I mean? Like,
no, I've forgotten that movie entirely.
The Craft, I didn't. The Craft Legacy.
No, I haven't.
I love it. The Craft Legacy is PG-13, and it's got people in, like, force bubbles, and it's fucking looks like a TV movie.
Was the first Craft movie, the original, was that?
I think it was PG-13.
PG-13?
Let me see.
Well, that's what I want to say.
The idea
I
that
to tell you the original one isn't some fucking, it's not Rosemary's Baby.
That's what
okay?
I mean.
You know, I watched
but I still think it's pretty good. I like the original.
It's not bad. I watched, yeah, it's PG-13. Oh, wait,
it's
no,
fucking
that's the Craft
great
Legacy.
Compared to this one.
No, it's rated R.
Okay, the well, original. Then that makes more sense.
That does make more sense. And yeah, the forced, I don't care. I you know what I mean. About the social justice stuff, I'm actually in agreement about the majority of that. But when it's forced like that and undeveloped and the movie sucks and the fucking character sucks and their motivations are stupid and it's just fucking doing it to be manipulative and you got David Duchovny who's like fucking wasted as, well.
He's David Duchovny.
Oh, come on. You should love him. You should be kind to him.
I mean, I don't not love him.
Yeah, the movie's a piece of shit. It's awful. It's awful. Here's the thing, though, Matt. Do I think it's as bad as, like, Fantasy Island? No.
I think it's worse than Fantasy Island.
I know
Island.
You said that. There's no way. Fantasy Island is not even, like...
Fantasy Island is dumb.
No, it's
like,
beyond dumb. It's baffling. Like, it's, like, it's baffling. Like, what's happening? Like, that. Like, one scene is disconnected from the next.
I feel like The Craft Legacy is... No, I mean,
wait
I guess...
Wait till you see The Turning. You have to see The Turning.
I'm going
to
watch that. That's this year?
Oh, yeah. That's bad, dude.
I got an edible just ready for it. I'm going to do it tomorrow, and I'm going to put it on Discord.
Oh, do that, please.
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
Her fucking faces will make you either cry or laugh or both.
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
So The Craft Legacy is a piece of shit. And if you like it, I'm sorry. But here's another movie that I really did not like. And, you know, Matt and a few other people from the Patreon on Discord said that it was just okay. A lot of other people said it was a good time and whatnot. It's Freaky. I fucking honestly hated this movie. I fucking did not like it. I did not like its fucking jokey ass tone about like its slasher jokiness. I thought some of the kills were creative.
Yep.
The kills were creative. So I have to give it credit for that. But like all the dialogue and like actually the concept isn't bad. It's just the flow of it is just.
I got to imagine the worst aspect is fucking Vince Vaughn being Vince Vaughn.
Honestly, because.
It's more of like Vince Vaughn being a 17-year-old girl.
Because I don't think that he's made a good movie.
Since Wedding Crashers?
And honestly, I don't know if people think he's charming in this or something. I just felt like he was phoning it in completely, like just completely.
Well, dude,
this is the guy who directed Happy Death Day.
I was gonna say it's for people who like Happy Death Day,
and I don't like the tone of that either. I just don't like that guy's shit.
It's dumb. Yeah, it's dumb.
Well, it's okay. I get if it was
it's,
fun.
It's for people who were like 17.
There was a couple times where Sophia and I chuckled. Most of it, we were like, "This is stew," right? But then the end, like the last 45 minutes straight, I'm like, "I'm fucking." I really hate this.
Yeah. He sleep.
He yeah. slept.
I did not. I wasn't. No, I was actually kind of livid. I was actually kind of like she had to calm me down because it was. I was. Straight
I got real.
Up,
I got real fucking worked up.
Yeah, I'm straight up not having a good time.
That's about how I. This that's movie. How I felt during The Craft Legacy.
Yeah, like well, because the Freaky is different. It has this budget thrown at it, and it has people, and it has this concept, and it's like, can you do something that fucking works here?
So you think Freaky is worse than Craft Legacy?
No, I think it was more disappointing because I had heard better things about Freaky.
Okay.
You know, in Craft Legacy, I haven't heard anyone
Freaky, there was a lot of like buildup and hype too. It was like, oh, it's coming out soon. And then it's like, oh, it's only in theaters for a while. And then it's on VOD. So everybody's waiting for it. And since nobody's going to theaters, nobody really saw it and was able to like pass along that word of mouth that it just was not good.
Pretty much. And it was at drive-ins here. And I almost went and saw this in the drive-in. I'm really fucking glad we didn't pay $10 per person to see this in the drive-in. Yeah. And imagine if the movie sucks, watching it in a car in a drive-in would just be fucking awful.
Well, I mean, especially because you don't drink or get stoned.
And I don't, exactly.
I'd at least be getting super ripped. George would probably be getting hammered.
Yeah.
It's true.
I would just be not having a good time.
We should just
having a fit.
In a car. Yeah, in a fit.
We should do a live show from a drive-in. Rhett can be DD. You can just get smashed, and I'll just get smashed. Like super ripped.
The last film I watched, that's not a bad idea. I like that. It's Coco D. Coco Da.
Yeah.
And it's from Sweden. And Matt had talked about this film.
That's at the top of the list.
We had an argument about this film in text thread and about 2 weeks ago. It was good. But
because I couldn't tell if he was serious or not.
Yeah, it was good. I like that.
He told me later. I like that. He told me later he was totally clowning me. And I was like, bro, I couldn't fucking tell. I'm sitting here like, is he fucking just this stupid?
I think it's just therapeutic at this point, though.
It's not. It's infuriating.
You've done it to me, and you know you have.
I mean, I'm not going to deny that.
There will be a time, again, very soon, where I take things much too seriously myself.
Yeah, when I wake up and there's like 40 texts of messages, Crom. And I go, God damn it, here we go.
I was lonely, man. I was worried about you. I hadn't seen Matt. I didn't get to touch base with him on Saturday. Fuck. Coco D. Coco Da is one of the best movies in the genre I've seen this year for my taste, like easily.
Told you.
Like easily.
Okay.
And it's about,
it's about an hour and a half.
It is about an hour and a half.
It's about Coco and some Da.
I don't want to give anything away, like anything, but a couple is having some issues and has to experience a situation repeatedly in different ways, and it's about them confronting grief.
Okay.
And that's
why is it that puppets are so impactful?
The fucking puppet shit like elevated this movie a whole 2 stars probably.
That for me, just that puppet shit, I was like, yeah.
That's why I was a little surprised you liked this though.
What was that Asian movie we watched that had
Impetigore.
Was that what it was? Impetigore?
The shadow box stuff.
That was like the best stuff in there.
Yeah.
The
kabuki stuff, sorry.
I love that shit.
Yeah, and Coco D. Coco Da, for people who are curious about it, it's on Amazon now to rent for like $3.99. It was just made available stateside.
Like, we were going to do an episode on that way back because it was supposed to come out like March 25th. And then COVID happened like a week before and they pushed it back. And then it was supposed to come out in like August and it got pushed back again. And I guess now they're finally just doing it on VOD, DD.
Yep.
DDD.
Cool. Well, I was surprised actually that you liked Coco D. Coco Da.
Why is that?
Well, it is quite artsy.
It's also really bleak and violent and like
Ultimately.
It's got like
nightmarish thing,
and it's got like a really heart rate. I like stuff that messes with my heart, like, and it's like real. That
movie, dude, is it at the end of the day? Is it a love story?
No,
it's a motherfucking love story.
It's really fucking heart wrenching. Oh, you know what's a love story though?
Bly Manor.
Holy fuck, that last episode is good, so good.
Why don't you just watch the fucking one from Black Mirror where the chicks fall in love and live an eternity in the computer instead?
Which one did I? I'm sure I've seen that one. I don't remember that one.
San Jacinto, you've seen it.
That's fucking great.
We talked about it.
Yeah. We just finished Bly Manor, that last episode. Holy fuck. All right,
cool. I'll have to keep going on that one. I lost it a little.
It's real sad.
A bit in.
Real sad.
I'll have to put it in the bin with The Mandalorian and not watch them. I want to watch Unhinged again, though.
Jesus Christ.
What have you watched?
It's funny, like I'm on you about fucking not watching The Mandalorian, but yet I watched Constantine for like the 30th time in my entire life this weekend. That movie's great. I don't care.
I saw it one time.
The bathtub stuff, it has some interesting
metaphysics. I don't
care
what anybody says about that film. It's legitimately good.
Why don't you read Hellblazer?
I like it. I've read Hellblazer.
Oh, you like
it? I have it. It's in there somewhere.
Did you see Justice League Dark?
Yeah.
I got that. Yeah.
Dude, it's I really, really like that movie. And if you haven't given it a shot recently, it has aged really well. Fucking Tilda Swinton as like this androgynous angel is super fucking rad.
How's the CGI?
It's fine. There's right? not much going on, dude. There isn't a whole lot of CGI. Like the demon stuff is a little bit dodgy.
Yeah.
The Peter Stormare's portrayal of Satan is the best ever. Like there's no better
what
Satan.
What about the prophecy, dude?
Dude, Shia LaBeouf.
What about Robert De Niro?
Is fucking cool as shit in this movie. And I like him as a little cool kid. It's a fun movie. I really appreciate that movie a lot. Also, I watched Scare Me.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty good.
We had to deal with this asshole's nonsense.
I was doing that again. Immediately, when I started watching... when I started watching Scare Me, I knew Rhett checked out 7 minutes in.
Big Bang Theory.
It's too jokey. And he is not a joke guy.
What do you mean I'm not a joke guy? I make jokes.
It's funny. Yeah, it's funny that his name is Meta Rhett and he didn't appreciate this meta ass movie.
No. It's not that it's meta. I just don't think he goes for jokey jokes. Like that's not a thing.
You don't like jokey jokes?
Yeah.
Not really, dude. The movie, it's cloying to me.
It's like they're trying.
People don't talk like that.
It's like the movie equivalent of two horror fans walked into a bar. Like that's kind of where
it's
he checks
like,
out.
It's like if I met someone like that, I'd be like, shut the fuck up, dude.
There's a lot of people like that though.
I know that. I don't like a lot of people.
But no, man, I really enjoyed that flick. It's right. I think it's fun most of the way through.
You built sets in theater, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're a theater kid. So it makes sense.
It seems like the people like that have too much confidence. It's like they actually think
what's wrong with having confidence?
No, because it's not warranted. It's just like, oh, you made more jokes. Like, okay.
I mean, but like she also wrote better books and she was a better writer. So that's what it was about. You would know that.
I need to finish the movie.
And also,
you didn't even make it halfway.
I didn't even make it past 20 minutes. Like I said, I don't have an informed opinion. But he knew. How did you know I checked out that early, though?
I could tell. The moment I was like, oh, this is a jokey joke movie. Rhett's out.
Didn't you feel it was kind of grating?
That's why I go to George for opinions about movies I should watch. Because like you and Alia will always have an agenda where it's like, oh no, you'll like this movie, but really you'll like that movie and you just want me to watch it. George will tell me like straight up whether or not I'll like a movie or not.
Well, sometimes I can't tell though, Matt, because you like Coco D.
You
Coco
are
Da.
You are difficult to read with certain movies.
I think you like Coco D. Coco Da, not something like Twin Peaks, is because it demands an hour and a half from you.
I don't feel like Twin Peaks is like
Twin Peaks has stuff in it.
The same.
It has stuff because you haven't watched much of it. It has stuff in it you would love, but you don't want to invest that amount of time to
get
to it.
That's a lot of time. It's not an hour and a half. I got like three episodes into Twin Peaks, or two. Maybe it was only two, but it was like
hard. And the
surrealist. Nightmarish shit in Coco D. Coco Da was like pretty, yeah.
So anywho, yeah, I like Scare Me. I'm going to try to catch up with a few more things before the end of the year, which is rapidly coming up. Yeah,
we got 2 weeks until that.
But we're not going to be doing a wrap up until the week after, right?
We're doing it like 2 weeks from tonight.
Did you watch The Dark and the Wicked?
Not yet. That is in the queue. That's the first thing I'm watching tomorrow with Ronnie.
If we got something else we want to throw in, we can push it to 3 weeks from tonight, but it's scheduled for 2 weeks from tonight.
That's fine. We'll figure it out. I mean, I got time. I got time. That was it?
Yeah.
All right. Cool. That's any news?
There's an Evil Dead video game coming out. Looks pretty damn cool. You can play as a human or one of the demons. So that's interesting. The spiritual predecessor to Left 4 Dead is coming out. It's called Back 4 Blood. I actually need to check my email because I was supposed to get an alpha code for that.
Ooh.
So if I do get that, I'll be streaming it. It basically just looks like Left 4 Dead, but like 2020. That's coming out in June of next year. Hulu acquired A24's False Positive for streaming in 2021. So it seems as though A24 is trying to get like some of their movies out. They're still holding on
to. Which is smart.
Yeah. I mean, they're still holding on to some of them. And I mean, like, I guess that means they really expect big things from movies like Saint Maud and The Green Knight.
It's on a shitload of people's best of the year lists. Even though it wasn't released stateside because it came out in the UK.
Saint Maud. And why? I mean, I guess maybe they had different restrictions or something.
Well, it was because of how bad the pandemic was here. Yeah.
It was bad in the UK too.
Yeah, it's bad in the UK. And it's
bad. It's bad now, but it wasn't as bad when St. Maud came out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break to talk about a movie when we come back from our break. Wow, I can make words good. All righty, we'll be right back.
All right. Oh, fuck. Guess what, boys? Nice, it's time to fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's time to fuck. It's smoky in here.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah, buddy.
What's up with the Patreon, my dude?
Patreon.com/WhoGoesTherePodcast is full of the people that we do this show for.
E-weedy.
Only those people. Not you, unless you're a member of Patreon.com/WhoGoesTherePodcast. And that's because those people help us continue doing this show. When we have a piece of equipment that breaks down, Patreon pays for it. When we have merchandise that needs to get made, Patreon pays for it. When I have burritos I need to eat, just kidding. Anyways, we give them exclusive content, bonus merchandise, bonus episodes, and access to the Patreon exclusive Discord, where we are all very active, and that's probably the best place to talk to us. And in December, you can get access to our Jack Frost episode coming soon.
It's a great
movie, and then our live watch of Speed.
Yeah, my first viewing of Speed.
This is a special request from one of our esteemed Patreon members. Yes. And
yeah,
that's what's happening.
That's what's up with the Patreon.
That's what's up with that, my dude. All right, well, the Who Goes Our Podcast watched 2011's Kill List, directed by Ben Wheatley, also written by Ben Wheatley and Amy Jump, starring Neil Maskell, Mayanna Bereg, who is real good looking.
You talking about the one lady or the dark
Shell Hummy?
Ah, yeah.
Harry Simpson, Michael Smiley, Emma Fryer, Strawn Roger, Esme Folly, Ben Crompton, Gemma Louise Thornton, and a bunch of other people you probably don't know who they are.
Crom laughs at your four wins.
Matt, what do you think Kill List, dude?
So this movie is basically Boondock Saints without the homoerotic undertones.
You didn't think there was homoerotic undertones in this movie?
Not so much. Not so much.
Oh, Jesus Christ, man. You missed half of the movie.
And it's and it's kind of like a Serbian film, but without all the fucking. That being said, this movie is fucking tight. This movie is hella tight. It is really fucking quiet. Real quiet. That's why I didn't watch. Remember I told you I've tried to watch it a couple times? Like, I've tried to watch it with headphones, and I thought maybe it was just the headphones.
It's dialogue.
It's quiet. It's mumbly dialogue. So it's hard to understand at times.
I was going to suggest you guys watch it with subtitles.
I always watch everything with subtitles, dude.
Because you're from Santee, I guess.
No, it's because I have a wife who talks through entire fucking movies.
Oh, I watched it with subtitles this time again because they're very British.
Yeah,
this is
so. Well, British, one of the guys is Irish, so that's even worse.
Very UK.
Yeah,
UK. Well, I'm glad to hear that, man.
Yeah. No, this movie's amazing, and it just ramps up. Like, it starts cool as, like, you know. Well, I mean, we'll get into it, but it starts very, like, mellow, and it just ramps and ramps until it's like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
Oh, we know what you think.
You go.
I enjoyed this film. I think it will benefit from a second viewing.
Oh, that is good news.
Because I think that the beginning, well, the first two thirds are kind of indecipherable if you don't understand what the underlying
direction
what is. But once I think once you hit the end and you sort of think about everybody's role in the movie, it really starts to open up different areas of, you know, things that you should think about. Because in terms of, like, the wife, like,
the wife.
Well, we'll talk about it. Rhett?
The first time I saw this was a few years ago on Netflix. You know, when you remember when, like, you're going on Netflix and you're like, what's this? And you look it up and you have a queue of like 100 movies that you don't actually watch. You know, like, well, I did. I would take, I would be like, I want to watch something, and I would take hours adding shit to the queue and not end up watching.
Oh, that's anything. What Alia does.
Yeah. Well, see, what's
up? I'll just scan over everything until I find something.
Well, I was looking this stuff up I had in there, including this one. And I looked at, I was Googling about it, and I was like, fuck, I'll watch this. And it started out with them drawing a fucking, like, it shows the symbol being drawn. Yeah. I'm like, all right, we're off to a good start. You got me.
What's see, and I would have been disappointed in knowing that ahead of time.
Right.
Like, no, well, sorry, finish.
I didn't know it started off like that.
No. But even like knowing that there was like some
I had to have a reason. See, I have symbology to have a
going on would have been like, I wish I wouldn't have known that. Afterwards, well, after the fact.
You mean you wish they didn't start the film that way?
No. The trailer that you watched. You know what I mean? Like, I wish that they didn't even include that.
No, I think he's saying he saw when he started the film, they drew the symbol. Like,
yeah, because they saw off with
okay.
the symbol.
Okay, got it.
It started, and that was like, okay, you got me. And then it was like, it turns into this domestic drama with a lot of cussing, and it's very British. And I'm like, okay, this is all very like cinema verite and realistic, but what the fuck, right? But I'm like, okay, you know, I got an attention span. And then it starts this like ominous music, real quiet here and there. I'm like, where the fuck is this going?
Yeah.
Where is this going? And I'm like, okay, they're contract killers, but he doesn't seem like a contract killer. But then I'm like, well, that's cool because they're not all Rambo. He's ex-military. He's got PTSD, whatever. And then it's like kind of like a road comedy almost, but like low key. And then around the 35-minute mark, we see the first kill. And then it gets to the second kill. And then it's fucking like ridiculously that scene with the hammer and all that.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And then this guy's getting real into it. And then it fucking ramps up again. So long story short, like for people who haven't seen this, this starts out like I described and it morphs. It's like a crime film that morphs into a suspense, really, really like graphic thing. And then it goes off the rails into a fucking cult thing.
Which, I did not see that shit coming.
Yeah, and it's like, but it's a really cool fucking premise, and it's something that's it's really pulpy of these guys doing a fucking contract killing, but it's in the underworld of some occult shit, and it leads into it again. The way it's approached, it's not sensationalized really. Like it feels, it's got a very very naturalistic and very like downbeat naturalistic vibe to it. So when things happen, it feels very like.
All of it feels earned, I think.
It feels earned, and it feels like, yeah, this could happen, basically.
Yeah, I think, you know, what was really interesting to me is that, you know, I started off watching the film, and that first argument they get into, and I go, who the fuck acts like this?
Oh, I've been there.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
my
so,
brother.
and so the thing is like, I'm like, okay, if this entire movie is just going to be them screaming at each other,
oh, and they love each other,
I might be checking out real soon. Cause I'm like, okay, you guys are miserable. You love each other. Great. Let's
who cares?
Find me something interesting.
Right. So I was worried rewatching it but I was counting the time. It took 35 minutes to get to their first kill, and I'm like, God damn it, I'm going to walk into a fucking minefield.
But even so, like, once you get past that first initial screaming match, that dinner that they have is super tense, and I really enjoyed that dinner where, you know, when he goes in front of my pal, and I was like, what the fuck? Who says in front of my pal?
He's not your pal, buddy.
Okay, so that stuff is all really well done. Like that whole dinner scene, which is again. Makes me not want to ever go to a dinner party ever again. Not that you need to invite me or anything, but you know, it's cool.
I mean, like, what? Do you want to invite? We'll have a dinner party. We'll go to Fred's. We'll eat a bunch of meat.
Sophia and I want to have you over for dinner.
Oh, God.
Do we have to make out with your dog?
Yeah. Either that or you get a fucking hammer to the skull. Like this guy. Ooh, that was tight.
Dude, that was brutal. That is brutal.
That shit had me cringing.
Yeah. I don't know. See, I never know what to expect for you guys because I could walk in here and you're like, oh, it wasn't so bad. But it's like, okay, thank you. Yeah, because they show him whacking the fuck out of his knee. And then it shows him.
Well, I was even thinking about the head. When he took it to the head, like that was. Like it was.
The director says he has a hard time watching that.
Did you guys start to key in at all on the oddity of the movie when Gal was asking why did the priest have that smile on his face? The moment he said that, I go, "There's some
something going on here. And well, I
yeah,
was,
absolutely.
Well, for me, it was when he said thank you. Cause I'm like, why the fuck did he say thank you?
You like, know what it feels like to me too, but more grounded. Like, you know, like you're probably not, but it's in a sense, it's kind of like video gamey to me because it starts out as a crime thing. And as it goes, it gets crazier and crazier. When you're at the last level, it's like full blown, like fucking people with a fucking fire and masks and shit. Like, you remember like Resident Evil 4? When you show up and it's zombies and then you go like further and further into it and it's like, oh fuck, like there's a whole thing here. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
How, again, that,
well, I'm surprised he like, I pulled that.
I what?
I'm surprised you pulled that.
What, Resident Evil 4?
Yeah.
I played like, that. I played a lot of that game.
I do. Me too. I ran through that game so many times.
If I play games, I will play these motherfuckers. That's why I don't have a system currently.
We need to get you a system.
Cause I will say bye-bye to other shit. Like this whole exercising thing, which has been tough to keep going. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's time to get some nachos and fucking play video games.
I mean, you can video game and work out. It's
You though?
Yeah, like there's
no, he can, but he's not even working.
There's specifically that that Wii Ring thing.
Oh yeah, we gotta get you one of those.
You know what? I really liked it. I just didn't like being watched trying it out for the first time.
That was the beginning of the end.
Fucking mortifying.
Me. So I think that the first and foremost, the atmosphere in this movie is so heavy, and I think it does that without feeling overwrought, and it's really well done.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. I really had no clue what I was walking into here. It was like another movie where I just don't fucking care.
No, you know? I mean, see, this is exactly what I want in a movie because it's tense from the beginning and it's like different kinds of tension the whole time. And there's little bits of foreshadowing. The story is easy enough to follow, but it's like intriguing enough to where I'm guessing because like as soon as like little things start happening, when she carved that thing on the bathroom mirror,
yeah.
I'm like, oh shit. Okay. They mentioned Kiev. I don't know what happened in Kiev, but this dude is on some list and like either he's going to wind up being like the third target or there's actually four targets and his homie's going to have to off him or maybe she's an assassin and he's on her list. And so
the whole point was to get him to, from the get go, he needed to sacrifice his son, right? Like that was the whole point.
Well, that's the thing. You can read this. I think there's a bit of ambiguity. I think they were looking for recruits. They were looking for candidates, and he's a good one. You get what I'm saying? How do you have missionaries for a group like this? And what they would do is like infiltrate people's lives and find good candidates. He's a good candidate because
he's unhinged.
He's violent, and he kind of has this, whether he knows it or not, he worships a certain mental state. And physical state.
Well, see, but I took it more as like they were trying to get rid of him because that woman, Fiona, she said that she's in human resources and she basically visits the underperforming departments and, you know, like reassesses what's going on there. So he was in Kiev and who knows what happened in Kiev, but he has been basically an underperforming unit for 8 months now. He hasn't worked, he hasn't done anything, and he's just kind of sitting there. His wife is getting pissed off at him, and his wife is like, I guess, involved in all of this somehow.
I think they all knew he was the one. She put the mark on the mirror, which is like,
yeah, they marked him.
They marked him as I don't think for death, because they kept thanking him. You don't know, he doesn't know who you are.
I think they were pre-thanking him for what happens at the end of the movie.
Right. They knew he was gonna
for like become, what, ascension?
Yeah,
like,
become one of them.
Maybe be the savior.
He's the male one. He's the male incarnation for their ritual at this time. They had to kill a lady, they have a male, and then he sacrifices his child and mother. Or not the child's mother. You know what I'm saying? It's a totally... Do you get what I'm saying?
But he didn't actually sacrifice them.
No, but they are sacrificed nonetheless. Like, he doesn't have to do it. The blood is spilled. The blood is spilled. You've got, like, his child and his wife being slain.
Do you think she wasn't dead at the end, though?
And also,
was she?
When they put the mask on him... Or not the mask, the crown.
Yeah. He's all about it.
He doesn't fuck. He's like, okay.
Yeah.
They knew. That's what I mean. He's like, he's ready. It's time for this shit. And then, it's like Midsommar, but like for dudes.
Yeah, kind of. No, I mean, the ending was very similar to a Serbian film, I thought.
Which I've never seen still.
Oh, you haven't? You've seen it, though.
I don't want to watch
it. You know what I'm talking about. Well, I mean, do you ever plan on watching it?
I don't know. I know about that.
Well, because like there's only two parts of, in it that are like really shocking,
and the rest just sucks and is a piece of shit, right?
No, I mean the rest is pretty good. Like we both agreed that it was like a very coherent film that had like messages that it was trying to say, and like it was
this movie I remember,
and it was well executed, but like he didn't like it.
Yeah, it had a beginning, middle, and end, though. That's good.
Well, no, I mean, it's a competent film, but like there's two scenes that everybody talks about. Actually, there's really only one. I know,
the
one.
Baby fucking.
Well, that's the only one. But then the other one comes at the end when there's like the big twist, and it's almost the exact same thing as this, but instead of like poking him with a knife, he's poking him with his
D. Speaking of which, that is a really big twist at the end.
Yeah. I mean, like I kind of felt like I knew what was going to happen. Well,
the thing is, 2 years ago when I watched this, and I was still getting inebriated at this time so I was interpreting things a little differently. Well, like you do anyway when you watch a movie. Remember, like when she gets stabbed, the wife, she looks at him and she laughs.
Yeah, I don't think she's dead.
Right.
Well, I think she's been in on it from the beginning.
Well, that's what I thought at the time, but then I was reading. At this time I didn't get that. This time I got that, like, she's like, you fucking destroyed yourself, and she's laughing at him like that. But that laugh and that look still, though, has such a feeling of wrongness to it that it's just like, this is fucking wrong.
I
read a thing where Ben Wheatley says that was not the intention. The intention was not that she was in on it, you know? But he likes that people have interpreted it that way.
Because I got the impression that, what's her name?
Fiona
was grooming her, basically.
Well, I think she was. I think she was infiltrating the household for all sorts of reasons.
I think the bigger twist to me...
How could you groom someone to get killed, though, like that quickly? It falls apart. Like
drogas? She's giving her crom, dude.
Because what's her name? What's the wife's name?
Shell,
she fought him, though. Like, she didn't just stand there.
Exactly.
And she had the kid on her back. So, like, I mean, I guess the director said that wasn't the intention that she was in on it. But, like, to me, I kind of got, like, because when she falls down, that's when he jumps on and stabs her a bunch of times in the back.
Yeah.
So, my guess is the kid's on the back.
Yeah.
So, she's laughing because the kid got killed. And, like, now they can, like, be in this group together.
I think both of them end up dying.
Well, he got the crown. Oh, you mean the kid and
the mom.
And the mom.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I don't know if it ultimately does it matter if she's in it or not. I just think the movie, it's a bigger twist, but I think it sacrifices a little more logic, which is not good in this case, because it kind of falls apart if she's in on it the whole time.
It's far more devious if she's in on it.
I know, but when you rewatch it, the interchanges they have, they don't make sense if she's in on it.
Oh, well, I mean, I guess I mean in on it.
Because there's too much shit to plan.
I think in on it, since what's her face? Fiona is in the picture.
Yeah, because they have that phone call where she's like, yeah, Fiona came over and brought a gift for the kid. Oh, once
that part, she gets introduced.
Well, she's like, I didn't like her before, but now she's kind of growing on me.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm still kind of unclear as to, like, what.
Well, even how she acts with the home—not home invasion, but when their houses, they have to protect themselves at night.
I think that's the bigger twist. Is that Shell is actually a pretty competent assassin herself?
Yeah,
I think feel like that she has
part,
to be.
That part is really cool to me. But when you realize that as a husband and wife, they're a team.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith,
basically,
but like
better
the real version. Like, they have PTSD and they're dysfunctional. And they've developed a taste for violence.
Yeah.
It's tight.
See, and I watched the movie, like, trying to I guess, build it around the whole thing with the cat. Like, where they're talking about, like, oh, it's an offering. And
rabbit.
Like, but the cat did it.
Oh, okay.
You know, like, where they were saying.
We got three dead animals in this movie.
Well, and they were saying that the cat brings it because they think that they don't eat enough in the household, but the mom thinks that the cat just likes killing rabbits, which, like,
it's a good it's a good little thematic.
That's gonna be a big fucking cat to kill a rabbit, but
It's a big fucking lizard lord.
But I forgot what I was going to say. Fuck. I forgot what I was going to say.
What the fuck?
Cat, rabbit.
No. Cat, rabbit. Is this a cat in a hat?
Oh, yeah. So
what kind of dog is this?
So the whole time I'm like, okay, well,
Hi, dog.
Who's the cat? Like, who needs to eat more? And like, who's the one that likes
to eat my crumb?
Killing the rabbits. Mm-hmm. And like, you get that the dad likes killing the rabbits. Well, no, he tries, but he
killing the rabbit.
The dad is the one who winds up liking to kill the rabbits, as you see later in the movie. But maybe so is the mom.
Look at his eyes. But like. I don't know. I guess I could. You could tease apart something there with the rabbits and because it's a through theme.
Well, there's the dog. That's the thing too. When he raids that one bunker and he's smashing that guy's head into the wall over and over again. Which again, yeah. Is that a great fucking scene?
Hell
like,
yeah!
And then it shows his face and he's like, you know, and then he shoots him.
Yeah, what are we gonna do about him?
And he walks in and he's like. Oh, fucking Christ. And there's a dead... He shot the dog. Like, well, that's what lets you know this has nothing to do with killing pedophiles.
No, they had a conversation about that earlier, though.
Yeah.
Like, I think before they even went on the first job, it was like, well, what if there's a dog? Do we shoot the dog? And he's like, well, yeah, dogs are 10 for a penny, aren't they? Wow. So, like, you know, he just, like, showed that disconnect where it's like, well, whatever. Life is life. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Which, like... I kind of like that because it was just like the domestic life kind of pushed him to that. I know he was an assassin beforehand, but then like being at home and just like the day-to-day nagging and just like feeling inferior and all that just pushed him to his breaking point.
See, I think that's
also like falling down.
Well, but that's unhinged. You got to what? Unhinged is falling down, but like
2020
falling down times five and a lot stupider.
Hell yeah. So
and Russell Crowe probably weighs what four Michael Douglas's weighed.
White bros wow. Are going to be loving this movie.
He looks like years. He's going to keel over and die at any moment.
I mean, he movie. Might.
Dude, it's good. Okay, wait. So, what the fuck? Where were we with that? What were you saying?
Well, where we last left our program was rabbits.
Yeah. Oh, rabbits. Yeah, rabbits and the dead dog. And oh, I love that. Okay, that he was ex-military, you know, and all that, because it's just the practical reality of it they're showing. Like, again, when I first saw it, I'm like, he doesn't look like a hitman. Even Sophia, when on the rewatch for me, which this is the first time for her, obviously, right? She's like, he doesn't look like a hitman, though. I'm like, yeah, well, they don't all look like John Wick. You know, that's not how it goes. You don't have to look cool, you know. And then as the movie progresses, you see why. And again, like at the end, I love, too, that he's just sniping fucking these people in the cult. That's what felt very video game.
That scene in particular was probably the most, if we're going to call it what it would be, it's the scariest scene. Yeah. When you have like the cult members like coming, chasing him in the screaming fucking thing. At him,
making weird animal noises,
it's so good. And in that stone tunnel where they're going down, and
but it feels that's the thing, like
really effective.
It morphs into this other thing, but it does it smoothly. Like it's like it's jarring, but it's like okay, I believe it.
Yeah, it goes otherworldly, but then you're like, oh, okay, it's still grounded. It's still very real.
Well, and this is one of the first times I've seen like one of those promotional photos that has a description of the movie that was actually accurate. It called it like genre hopping or genre blending.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, okay, like this is gonna be another one of those things where it does like two things. It's pretty fucking
cute.
Not good at either one of them, but no, it did like six things and it was pretty tight.
It's like a buddy comedy. Oh, when he fucking grabs the guitar from the guy.
Oh, I loved that.
That was great because it breaks the tension and it's like the last scene before the rest of the movie happens.
What would you guys?
Things are not nice after that.
What would you have done, Jimi Hendrix?
Yeah.
What would you have done? Jimi Hendrix, you ate.
What?
If like.
If I was which one?
If you were him, the guy that snatched the guitar. Like there, you were just trying to have dinner with your
friend. First off, I wouldn't. Yeah.
Well, no, but
do
I mean,
you know
like,
me?
No, that's this is
do
what
you
I'm
know
saying.
Him, dude?
What would you do? Like you're sitting there at the table, and
he
then
just fucking told you
like,
he wouldn't
they
do it.
They sit right next to you, like it's an empty restaurant otherwise, and these like they just want to start singing Jesus songs and playing guitar.
I would probably just say stupid shit under my breath, really loudly. I mean, you know me.
I mean,
you know me, fool.
That would be it, man. I'd be like.
What the fuck?
What are you?
I love it though. I love that. I actually rewound that scene two or three times because when it starts, he's like, he's not going to play the fuck guitar in here, is he? It's like, that's.
And then he does.
And he does. It's like, God damn, I know how he feels. Like, he's not going to do that. He's like, there's a time and a place. It's like, yeah.
There is. There is a time and a place.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck, man?
That smiley guy, the Irish guy.
Gal.
He reminded me a lot of my buddy John.
Gal's great, man. I think despite.
I like how he was religious also.
Yeah.
Because it added some more complexity. It and then, did. Like, this one guy's a family guy. And this one guy's religious, and it's like, yeah, well, they still do this because they're why? Because they were contract killers. Damn. When they're in the military. It's the same thing to them.
I just thought about something. Like, they have that scene at the dinner party where Fiona is talking about how, like, people in Ireland should basically just get over it because it's like the same religion. And like, Gal starts to get like really offended. He's like, well, no, it's not really. You know, he takes it to heart and it's like very serious to him. But then the whole time she's like part of this fucking cult, which is like its own weird religion. And meanwhile, she's just like talking shit, like saying how like Catholics and Protestants are all just the same and they should just get over it.
Right.
That's interesting.
Well, because it is interesting because to her, I think she's being sincere. To her, that is all the same.
Yeah.
You know, but what, and then outside of it though, objectively, what it does is it lends more credence to the cult. Like, cause people will be like, how can they believe that shit? How can they believe that shit? But then you've got several religions worldwide where the people believe the shit and it's easier to believe in because more people, it's more socially acceptable.
Yeah.
But ultimately, how does this shit start? It starts as a few fucking motherfuckers. All any belief system like that started as a cult. Like, Christianity started as a cult of a dude and 12 fucking people.
Well, I mean,
like, if we're taking it literally.
Seven-day Adventists were a cult. They're like an offshoot of a cult.
Right. Like, who goes there is a cult.
Yeah.
It was you two. It was you two guys.
Mormonism is a cult.
It was a cult. Now it's hella tight.
Is it?
No.
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 I mean, like, they do have those super cool underwear.
Yeah.
Did you have to wear those underwear?
What we mean by a cult, by the way.
Did you ever have to wear those?
No, the garments. You wear those once you're sealed in the temple. People get married and
they don't let you out after that.
Is it a hidden temple?
Like Nickelodeon? I've
heard legends of it.
Legends of the base, dude. Joseph Smith made that show. Legends of the Hidden Temple. I found this book.
He's like
hidden in this hill.
Olmec translated it.
It's total Indiana Jones shit. It's tight. Yeah. I mean, it just.
I used to love that shit.
Not true. You don't get the underwear until.
Yeah. You got to be married to okay. I don't want to go into all this. You got to be married in the temple and you got to be in good standing with the church. And it's a husband and wife thing.
Oh, and then they give you the underwear.
They give you the magic, the garments they call it.
And you get to pre-soak your dick.
And they're made of silk and they're quite pricey. Imagine that. Huh. See, the thing is, my dad. You're supposed to wear these under your clothes, but he would just wear them at home all day.
Well, it's just like wearing your underwear.
Like a jumpsuit. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
He had a onesie. Because they have onesie ones. So he wore this onesie all day at home.
Oh, yeah.
It just looked like he's wearing a fucking jumpsuit, some spiritual jumpsuit.
He's like the Mormon Michael Myers.
And it has like a flap for your ass. So if you want to take a shit, you don't even have to take them off.
Or if you want
to
get
pegged. So that way you're safe on the toilet.
Hell yeah.
Because the thing is, they're supposed to keep you safe. I heard stories from people. I got in a car wreck and the car lit on fire and the fire went through my pants, but it stopped at my garments. I heard that story. God. I was like, Jesus Christ, literally, right? Like, no. But
no.
But yeah, the belief thing. I think that conversation they have there's a few things going on, you know? I think also she's probably just trying to see where Gal's at too, right?
Yeah. When she was using poor Gal the whole time.
Yeah, Gal was being used for infiltration, man.
Like,
yeah.
I thought he was in on it until they had the conversation where he said that she left him. And then I was like, oh, okay, she was just using him to get into the house.
Dude, and Gal totally wanted to fuck him, dude, by the way.
Wait, Gal wanted to fuck the dude?
Yeah.
You think?
Okay, how are you so good with this homoemerotic business?
It's 100%, dude.
Where did this come from?
He wanted to fuck him, dude.
That's just dude love. I don't think he wanted to fuck.
He was waiting for him to roll over when they were in the forest.
With his
crumb. He was just waiting for it, dude. That's when he's like, wake up.
I like his guts are spewing out and he's all like, I'm fucked, mate. I'm fucked. Yeah, wait, dude. He was like, wake up what? He wanted to fuck right there?
Yeah, he did. Come on now.
Wait. Way, way.
Look, dude, y'all are the ones that missed.
I mean, I missed an incest. You missed the incest thing
in Mount Kings, and also you wanted to see people dock in fucking Life Force. What is it with you in this? Which is fine.
Wait, I mean, like the docking.
I don't remember you being like this in high school. What happened?
He's been like this since I knew him.
I know, but that's years later. So he started, he fucked some dudes.
You know what happened?
Or something, which is fine, but I'm wondering when this happened.
He found Bailey J. That's what it was.
That'll fuck you.
Yeah. I mean,
if only.
Yeah.
What happened, dude?
We'll send you a GIF.
Yeah, we'll send you a GIF.
I don't want it.
Too late.
Goatee.
Already sent it.
It's meat spin.
But yeah, man.
Like meat flap.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I'm actually glad. I'm glad we did this because, like, this has been a movie that I've wanted to watch since Shudder started, which was, what, 5 years ago?
And this came out 2011, I want to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, a year after Serbian film.
By the way, you know
so
how
they
we
stole the ending.
We've talked about doing our top 10 of the decade.
Yeah.
I have this in my top 10 of the decade of that decade. Okay. Actually. And I know after the rewatch I was kind of reconsidering, but it's really unique too in its own way, you know? It shouldn't be. Meaning, because it's.
Well, I mean, it isn't, right? In terms of like.
It's individual elements.
Yeah. But the way they're able to meld them all together into one chunk is pretty good.
Yeah. Because usually, like you said, when they try to do stuff like that, a lot of the time it just is convoluted. And this, I feel, has a very clear linear thread and it just. I buy it. Like, I buy the whole thing. What would be hard for me to buy is the wife being in on the shit.
Why would it?
I mean, it just feels unnecessary. Well,
what is the shit that we're saying she's in on? Like his ascension to
he wasn't in on it. You know, so he's gonna do this because he doesn't know the whole thing, and once it's over, he'll understand and be like, okay.
So why do you think she was fighting then? Because he clearly didn't know what was going on. They dragged him and threw the mask.
She's probably drugged and probably was defending herself.
That's what I think. Like, I think she's being. I think she's been drugged, in either spiritually or otherwise since Fiona was introduced,
or both,
or both.
Yeah, like when she returns.
Yeah.
Why mention that Fiona's back?
Exactly.
But why would she fight with the kid on her back?
Because she's ascending, dude.
No, they strapped the kid to her back. You know what I mean? I think they tied the kid to her back on purpose.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why it was the hunchback. I mean.
Well, yeah, but. I don't think she's like, put him on my back. I'm wondering why she was fighting. That's the thing. Like, was she just kind of dragged out like he was and had no idea what was going on? Or this is why I kind of feel like she knew something. Like, I feel like. She couldn't, like, in a Serbian
film. She was all about sacrificing their child so they could get it on in this new cult.
At that point.
I get the idea. I mean, I hadn't considered. I mean, it's possible. Maybe it's open
because,
to
interpretation. Like, the kid is fucking obnoxious through the entire movie.
Well, that's not a reason to kill him, but
you can tell the dad loves him, but he's kind of just like, you know, and then he makes a comment.
It's a similar thing in Possessor.
Welcome to being a dad.
In Possessor, she wants to leave her domestic fucking nightmare life.
Well, right.
Yeah.
And you know, like
she's a violent person. It's actually very, very similar thematically in that sense.
So Midsommar ripped off Kill List.
Midsommar and Possessor ripped off Kill List.
Yeah, and Kill List ripped off a Serbian film.
Kill List is probably pretty influential at this point, I would say, among horror.
I mean, it's on a lot of lists. That's the thing. That's kind of, I think, how I heard about Kill List was it was on some of those, like, you know, 10 shocking movies or, you know, 10 most depraved movies.
Depraved.
And I don't think it is.
No, it's the hammer scene, dude.
Yeah.
It's the hammer scene and the scene right after it.
It was, I mean, the gore was really unflinching.
Yeah. One of the best things in there is when he's watching the video and we don't see the video, which usually is like, show me the fucking video. But his face
is enough.
Is enough. Yeah. And the sound, and it was like, it's Adrenochrome City on this video, right? Yeah. Like, fuck.
Yeah, you know what's going on.
Don't do this.
Yeah, don't fuck.
Don't
like
fuck
that.
Like that.
Don't fuck like that.
And he's like watching, and he's like, this is what they do. And this is what I'm going to do.
See
what?
I guess I'm getting more confused because then like,
dude, just accept how, well,
you no, cause it. I want to know what happened in Kiev. Cause I feel like a lot, and I appreciate that they don't tell us, but you get the scenes like where they have.
I think he had some shit that he's not going to come back from.
Like, well, right. But they, okay. So, but from there, they have the guy, you know, like we were saying, that made that video. And it gets to the point where Gal's out of the room and he's like, hey, while he's gone, like, you're him. I'm happy to have met you and all this other stuff. Like, was he prophesized? Did something happen in Kiev that made him like,
is the dog famous or popular? Trickster?
Yeah.
I don't know, Matt. You know, I don't know. I think the Kiev thing is to establish that he's got PTSD and was a soldier.
Oh, and also like maybe something horribly violent happened in Kiev.
That's what I'm saying.
I think that's definitely the case. He says Kiev was bad.
Yeah.
Like it was, this is the thing that scarred him, but it opened up this, it scars him, but it opens up this new realm of extremity to him that he's going to have a hard time putting back in the box.
You get what like, I mean? So what could he have done that would be like so legendary to this cult of people that like,
I don't know. Maybe if the it's cult just that got attention of him that way.
Maybe it's just that he's a heartless murderer and like he knows that.
Well, it's quite possible that what's her name was dating what's his name just because.
Who?
She was dating Gal.
She was 100% dating Gal just to get into that house.
What? No, see, that's the thing. I don't know that. That's what I'm saying. It's possible she wasn't dating him to get into the house. It's possible she was just dating him.
And then coincidentally found them.
Not coincidentally. Like, she's like, because she's looking for victims and she's looking for recruits. And Gal is a victim, not a recruit. And she realized that quickly with the Catholicism shit and all that stuff. It's also a guy to fuck and probably all that stuff.
That makes sense.
She still wants to just fuck idiot guys. And she thinks Gal's an idiot because he's a simpleton to her because of his religious views and all that superstition to her.
Oh, yeah. She didn't get him before he came into his views.
His views. Exactly. Right? He's not heretical.
It was post-views.
Then she goes over there and she doesn't leave. That's
he's
the thing.
He's never going to drink adrenochrome.
She sees the fucking, that dinner party shows her a lot of stuff. And she's like, I want to show me more. I need to know more.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, like,
I don't think she infiltrated. Because
he just flipped his whole dinner over. That
shit was great, dude. He goes, abracadabra. What does he say? Abracadabra? Yeah,
abracadabra.
Abracadabra.
Yo, abracadabra, B.
And then he goes in the other room. He's like, never in front of me, pal. And I was like, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's cool, too, the next day. Because they show that, you know, he apologizes to his kid the next day. He's like, sorry for last night, buddy. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That was cool they did that. Because they show he's just not like a horrible father until he kills his child. But... oh, they have the. They
but
have
then this, he didn't even care. Or maybe he was good, just so desensitized.
Well, it's harder that. To care when you're surrounded by people who are applauding you. So that's the whole, like, isn't
don't
it?
Don't I know it? Yeah. That's how alcohol works.
That's how a lot of shit works. I mean, a lot of it, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. But, well, like the military, for instance, yep. Right? And I'm not trying to down anyone in the military, but I'm saying this is what we do. So
this is what you do.
There's a foreshadowing I noticed this time when they're play fighting in the front yard with the swords and stuff at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And again, so anytime that's, and then it speaks to broader issues about human nature. Like we play fight with swords and shit. And like, we're pretending to kill each other. It's like, this goes on, but that's like a foreshadowing to the fight at the end. Like yeah. he actually kills his fucking son.
The funny thing is, like, I made a note of that when it happened, but I didn't make the connection at the end of the movie. I was like, oh, because the son winds up stabbing the mom. And I was like, oh, is the son going to stab the mom later for some reason? Is this foreshadowing? And when it actually happened, I didn't even catch it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Tie.
So it ties it together thematically.
So Kill List, pretty good. Yeah. I think even if you haven't seen the movie and you've gotten this far in our review and you've been spoiled, I still think
watch it.
It's still a hell of a good movie to watch.
It's even a hell spoiled. Of a ride.
It's like, another one too that's well ahead of the more serious horror film thing that came into the norm a few years later with A24 stuff and all that. You know what I mean?
It does it really well too because it manages to balance like the extreme gore, the extreme violence, but also like the kind of artsy, like, well,
and that's the thing. It's drama. Naturalism. Cause when I say natural, like the way it's shot, the way it feels with the dialogue, it prevents it from feeling overly artsy. Like it doesn't feel arranged.
Yeah.
It feels very almost documentary like.
It's very much like art imitates life at that point because it's very artful in the way that it handles life, but it's life that feels authentic.
Right.
I think that's the.
It doesn't
feel
like designed.
I think that's the magic of it because you don't ever feel like, oh fuck, like this is pretend.
Right. Yeah, they don't go into a set where it's like fucking everything. And again, you know, I like all that kind of artsy set design and all that. But it's like, no, this is a fucking house. It's a regular house. This is a regular place. You know, it doesn't feel set designed and everything's labored over where the books are in the shelves and stuff like that, which I like. But it's to this film's benefit that it doesn't do that. It's yeah, much.
It's grimy just, in a very specific way. And yeah. I dig that.
That's right.
All right, cool. Well, that's Who Goes Your Podcast for Kill List. Go watch it.
Fuck yeah.
Anything else we need to talk about before we wrap up, boys?
Next week is I Spit on Your Grave for Christmas.
Cool.
So we spit on people's graves to celebrate the winter solstice.
Merry Christmas, bitches.
All right, that's it. Episode 289 in the bag.
Yeah.
I don't mind stealing bread from the mouths of decadence.
I'm going hungry.
I'm going hungry.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.